Safety Net Studio presents.
I don't know if I like there's a little truth in everything. I've said a lot of shit on this show.
I was thinking the same thing as you said.
I don't think we need to start evaluating if there's truth to
any of
that.
The amount of truth is variable. It's variable.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter.
Between zero and maybe.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine.
Episode 12 of Wheeler After Dark. I'm Dave Wheeler, my wife Candace Ray, and the sad Jaguar. I decided to wear the same shorts that were in question last week. If you want to have a look at these.
Okay, I would like to... Okay, yeah, let's bring this camera down. Right down to... Here, I'll hold it. Okay. Let's see. I'll see. So these are them. Okay, Jags.
Okay, we got a pocket.
Okay, so there's a pocket here.
There's one pocket right here.
There's a zip pocket.
Oh, that's a cargo
shirt. No, hang on. When I zip it up, look. You can't even tell. Like, it's on...
I can absolutely tell.
It's no different. It's no different than this pocket right here. A cargo shirt is, like,
unbelievably noticeable. If you put something into that cargo pocket, I would know right away that you're wearing a cargo shirt.
No, look at this way. What happened was is they took, because I only have one back pocket here, they took off this back pocket.
Ooh, look at that sexy ass.
They took off this back pocket and moved it to the side. So therefore, there is not any more pockets than on a standard set of pants.
See, I didn't realize that. That wasn't discussed on the show last week. I listened.
Oh, thanks for listening to our show without you. It wasn't the same.
It was amazing.
I couldn't... It was so positive.
It was so positive.
You know what? Honestly, it was a really good show, and I was listening to it. I was like, "Fuck, maybe I just don't need to be on the show."
Oh God, no, we need you. It's my one hour that I get to just beat hard on Dave.
Yeah,
it's my therapy.
I gotta say, that's the closest I've been to Dave's balls, though.
Is it?
Hey, by the way, is that a bulge or was that a
I am wearing my sheath underwear. Imagine sheath underwear. It's like it's dude underwear. Jaguar.
It's just a bulge. I touched.
Basically. Sheath underwear is like yoga pants for women's asses. It does that for the front end for men.
Like it makes your junk.
Yeah,
look
well, just kind of. It's like someone's holding up for you instead of just like you know sagging down like a pair of Saint Bernard's eyes.
Like don't do it.
It's just like having a really nice like of Mice and Men. The guy that wore a hand
no,
with
you went,
Vaseline.
You went from a Saint Bernard to like a boxer.
Yeah, just not, toy.
Okay, now. I'm like a sax guy. What's the difference?
So this one has instead of having the things on the side, which is really nice, this one actually there's a spot for you to put your testicles and then a little hole for your pecker to go in, and it keeps everything nice and segregated. So
you
there's
got four pockets inside there?
So, yeah, they're cargo
That's
underwear.
Cargo
so
underwear.
You got cargo underwear. You got double cargo
They're made out of bamboo mesh, so they breathe. The guy that designed them was actually a former Navy SEAL, and just couldn't stand being out in the field all the time and having his nutsack stick to his leg, and then his nutsack stick to the bottom of his shaft, and everything was just sticking.
That's fair.
Just segregates everything, and you honestly feel just fresh, even when you know you disrobe to do a number two or whatever it may be. You're just like, oh, everything just feels good. You don't have to unpeel everything like a fucking like the bat wing
elephant.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing has to be peeled away, and it's even got like
that's what it's called, or that's what I've always known.
Even
as.
The old school, you remember the tidy whities that you used to wear? You get to pull that little flap out of the front and pull your pecker out. Same thing, so you don't have to.
Yeah.
If you're just taking a pee in the urinal, you just pull the penis out and let it go pee, and then put it back in. And everything it's magical, truly magical. Sheath underwear.
What's the price cost on?
They're
those?
Pretty consistent with what you get on Saks.
Where do you get them?
Because Saks looks pretty pricey. So
does it feel weird for the first bit when having your dick and balls separate?
Yes, because you're like, why aren't they sticking together?
Yeah, that I feel like I don't know. Do they get lonely?
it's like talking through one of those prison windows where you got to pick up the phone. You can see each other, but you're you know.
Sam, just press up against the glass.
Oh, Billy.
No more window left.
By the way, just a quick little. This is not a plug. This is actually a money saving thing. But if you use the code BIZKIT69 BIZKIT69
yep.
at Sheath Underwear, then you'll get a 20% discount, and that's courtesy of the Slang and the Biscuit podcast.
Who doesn't like a deal?
So I should get some of these.
I think you should try them.
Patterns, colors, options, lots of options.
Oh, yeah, they've got like camouflage and different colors, and actually they have bralettes for women as well. So same bamboo mesh.
I want to try them so much. Yeah. I want to try them for my boobs.
What does it do, isolate the titty?
Well, that's what I want to know, because you're talking about how yours is holding from
one
to one.
Does the nipple have its own pocket?
Yeah, I want to know, do I get like a cargo pocket in there? I get like a third nipple area? Woo!
Put your weed in there.
I want to try out those ones. I'm excited to see what that's like. I want to know what kind of magic pocket I get.
I think they would be like a like a yoga or a sport bra, just a little more breathable.
Oh, that would be nice.
Is that the bamboo thing?
Yeah, bamboo mesh, yeah.
Okay.
Which, yeah, by the way, bamboo. Oh. Bamboo is fucking... yeah, there it is right there. Yeah. Tommy's got a picture of it.
That's weird.
They look good.
But you should try it.
I'll try it. I'll try it out. Yeah.
Give it a shot.
You really like them. And you were a sax guy for a long time.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, I went from, you know, tighty whities as a kid to boxer shorts to boxer briefs, and then the sax came out, and I'm like, this is a fucking game changer. And it's like going from playing in the American League to the NHL, going from sax to sheath.
Hmm.
Yeah.
When do you retire underwear?
When my wife says, you got to throw these out.
Yeah.
Does she say it, or does she just throw them out?
Yeah, sometimes he comes out of the bathroom, and there's like a hole in the back buttocks, and there's like a... You know, the waistband's got a bit of a hole. It got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how long does a pair of underwear, should a pair of underwear be in possession?
A year and a half to 2 years?
Mm.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm way past expiry. but I keep mine, like, if I have to do work around the house, you know, like...
What?
I use the shitty ones.
You work around the house underwear?
Shitty underwear to work around the house.
Because I sweat a lot. There's a lot of heat in my undercarriage.
Ugh.
So I just use those. They're,
that's,
you know,
the
like
smell
old.
In the room.
Dude,
what? Yeah.
Honestly, the sheets will be perfect for you then. Like, I guarantee you, you'll sweat less.
I'm going to buy some.
But for the record, Jaguar, I don't want to disappoint you, but I tried your underarm detox with the baby powder for...
I was going to ask
3 weeks,
that.
And finally Candace and I had a conversation. She's like, take time to give the fuck up.
Gross.
Yeah. Really? It just wouldn't take.
No, it wouldn't take. And because there's a soap I wanted you to use from Portia Ella.
Right.
It's a detox soap. And so you needed to use that. Dave's like, he sweats a lot. And you're kind of stinky.
Well, I don't sweat. That's the thing. I don't sweat.
You perspire a stink.
There's a difference between a deodorant and an antiperspirant. Antiperspirant stops you from sweating. I've never used an antiperspirant. I don't have a problem sweating in my armpits, but I do stink. So I needed a deodorant.
Years and all that drinking just pouring out of his body.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have that problem.
That's because it all stays in.
Your liver is screaming. It called me last week.
I'm a fucking robot, I guess. I don't know.
When you die, Jack.
That's too bad it didn't work for you, because it's a great... I love it. But I guess it's not
one
for
thing
everybody.
I did find, instead of using baby powder, because she was a little concerned about the talcum powder, is I went to a cornstarch powder.
Yeah, you really like
that. Yeah, okay.
And that's really nice.
Most of it's cornstarch now, isn't it? Most of it?
Yeah, it's really nice. I prefer it over the baby powder.
Oh my gosh. Dave's bathroom after he has a shower, I'll go in there. It looks like there's like seven people at a Coke, like an actual Coke party.
Like a 1980s Coke party?
It's all over his feet. It's all over his balls. It's all over his arm. Like,
you
gotta
it's
crazy.
You got to do it in the shower. I go back into the shower, and that's where I do it, so that when the shower gets turned on the next time, it all rinses
away. Unless
you're
the person that comes in, and they go whoop, and they slide.
Oh, well, that's your fault with your marble fucking floors.
Holy shit.
Everything's goddamn... I almost ate shit 50 fucking times on those floors.
They get a drop of water on them, and they become a skating rink.
Yeah, I don't know whose idea
it's
that was.
Crazy.
Oh, let's put marble around the pool. Yeah, it looks beautiful until you get it wet.
You crazy?
So whoa.
You slide into the
pool. Oh, yeah, you slide in.
Belly slide.
It's bad, man.
Speaking of which, I'm less than 8 days away from landing back in the WPG. Am I still going to see snow when I get back?
Oh, yeah. Okay. For sure.
Like
lots? A fair bit, yeah.
Well,
we didn't have a ton of snow this year, but there's still a lot of snow.
They're still calling for flooding this year. Minimal flooding, but flooding nonetheless.
It shouldn't be much. We didn't have a lot of snow.
It's been melting pretty nicely, I gotta say.
I'm pissed. I paid a guy to clear snow for me in March. He hasn't come once, because there hasn't been any.
That's the worst. Good for him, though. That's the business you want to be in.
Well, hey, that's the right thing to do, because if all of a sudden it snows like crazy, I don't have to deal with it. So I'm into it. It's just like, every day I'm kind of like, that's not enough. He's not going to come for that. It's going to melt tomorrow.
What's this new thing happening April 1st in Canada?
Oh, fuck. Wait, you're about to trigger three of the gentlemen in this podcast.
Yeah, but I've heard that there's something to do with a tax with booze. Somebody explain it to me.
Oh, they're up in the prices on
highest
booze.
Highest tax.
Like 6.5% or something.
Highest tax increase in 40 years on booze.
And where does that money go?
Oh, right into the pocket of Justin Trudeau and his friends.
Are they going to make our... Okay, so you're going to go up 6%. Are you going to make the roads better? Are you going to help out the school systems?
No.
They're just taxing. No. So every single bottle, like what? Everything?
Everything.
Every alcoholic product. 6%.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Six percent.
What was the percentage?
I think it's around 6.5%, 6.4%, somewhere around there.
I thought it was 6.5% or somewhere in there, which is fucking crazy.
Is this just Manitoba?
No, it's right across the country. This is a federal. Federal tax all the way across the country.
Sure?
100%. Yeah, this is a federal tax.
Oh, more than ever. You should start smoking weed, people.
I'm going to Calgary in June.
Oh,
so
weed's taxed like fucking crazy, too.
I'm stacking up on booze in June because I'm going to Calgary.
Why? Oof, I'll give Costco? You a list.
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, we're driving. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm giving
you a list.
Trunk's going to be filled with
your
booze.
Car?
Just the trunk? Yeah, I'm going to rent you a trailer.
I might leave the kids there.
I'm renting you a trailer to take with you.
I'll bring the kids. I'll leave the wife there.
In the back, on the, you know, like where you put your feet in the back, you got six packs. Kids get to put their feet up on it, like a little bit of a rest.
Yeah. Yeah.
From a marketing standpoint, I would love to see a booze company, regardless of who it is, come out and do an ad campaign going, hey, we disagree with this tax as much as you do. And to make sure that we show that we are dedicated to you, we're going to eat that tax and we're going to lower our prices to make sure that the prices that you're paying for our product does not change when you go into your local LC.
Oh, man. Yeah, but eating 6.5% is like, that's a serious.
But at the same
commitment.
Time, if you can boost.
You might be able to offset it with volume. If you can increase your business by more than 6.5%, you're actually ahead.
I agree. And look at it this way. True. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be taking that off the list. Although I did hear from a booze rep once upon a time saying, being in the booze business is great. It's recession proof. If you're happy, you drink. If you're sad, you drink. But when you raise the prices on things, people are going to start buying the bottom end, the lower shelf, booze or beer or whatever it may be. So if you can get one of these high end or even middle of the pack ones to kind of go, we're going to keep our prices the same, it could actually save them because I think they're going to see a big decrease in booze sales.
I don't think so.
Well, and I think booze sales are down overall if you look at let's call it 10-year.
I don't know, it was pretty high during the pandemic.
Yeah, but I think if you look at it, because the Tylers and the millennials don't drink as much.
Yeah, they drink seltzers.
Yeah, okay.
They drink seltzers, but they actually don't drink as much. And they actually, now with weed legal, they smoke more weed.
Oh, yeah, good for
you. There's way more weed being sold than I would have thought. But I think those generations are not consuming alcohol as much as they are cannabis. So I had a conversation with someone actually on a podcast I did the other day. About this exact thing.
Wait a minute. You didn't come up to ours and you went and did another one?
Who was it?
And
give him a plug. Yeah, give him a plug.
I did it yesterday. It's called the Highly Motivated Podcast.
Oh, for
it's just starting.
Sakes. He's going on a high. Oh,
highly
high.
Motivated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Highly motivated. There's a buddy of mine, Chris, who owns a cannabis shop in Winnipeg, Black Tie Cannabis. And this guy, Pigeons 420, who's a huge YouTube cannabis guy. He's got 100,000 followers on YouTube, subscribers on YouTube. He does a few different podcasts, and the two of them have been buddies forever, and they wanted to start a podcast about cannabis industry talk, more so than like the Pigeons will do growing and reviewing products for growing weed and stuff like that, but they wanted to do more of an industry thing. And so I went out there with my business partner Jesse, and we shot a couple episodes, and it was great.
Good for you.
It was really fun. Yeah, it was fun.
But
we had a conversation about where's cannabis going? And it's looking at bars, you'd think nightclubs at some point soon enough are going to start serving cannabis beverages instead of in addition to alcohol, because people want to consume that.
It's true. I don't see the millennials going out and buying a bottle of Jack Daniels, a bottle of, where you think a dad, a very dad.
Not like Dave and I do. That's
no,
for sure.
No.
One thing I think you will see, it's possible, based on what you just said, is I remember back in the old days when the smoking ban first came in, there were certain places that applied for licenses to have a cigar room where people could go in and smoke in those areas. Remember airports? You would just see this one area
The dirty glass room.
Yeah, just filled with smoke and people just sitting there getting off plane going, fuck.
Even I didn't like smoking in those rooms, but I always did, but I'd walk in and just be like,
oh yeah.
They were terrible.
You people make me sick.
You just
sick.
Walk into an ashtray and bathe in it.
Oh, it's so bad. And I just would judge everyone in the room, even though I was one of them.
Germany still has the little pods, so you go in your own pod, and then there's at the airport. Like what? Yeah. So you can light up a cigarette, and the suction there is incredible. You can just literally see it all disappear.
Can you put your dick in there?
It was awesome. It was the best. Something I've never felt before.
You said suction, and I felt the tingle in my balls.
But yeah, those pods are awesome because you walk by. And you
so could you conceivably think that certain bars, based on what you just said, saying, "Hey, you're not allowed to bring your own weed in, but if you want to have some weed and you know party here, here's a room. Go in there. Like you said, all of the exhaust and all the suction that you would need. Go in and smoke in that area, and then come back out and party. And you know, here's a bottle of water. Here's a bottle of Coca-Cola.
I think so. There's a lot of talk in the cannabis industry about consumption spaces. So like, whether it be edibles, whether it be smoking or whatever it is, like there's a million ways to get THC into your body now. And so there's tons of talk in the industry about that. And I think it's going to happen. It's just going to take a while.
I think it'd be great to go to a place that you can like go dancing and everything. And you're just like, hey, I'm going to go have a few hoots. And you walk into one of these pods that Tommy's talking about, have a few hoots, walk out. There's no smell in the room, and grab some water and keep going.
Well, and especially in Winnipeg where it's like minus 40, you know, like for a big chunk of period of time, right? Instead of going outside, yeah, you can just go into
and you're all standing there, right? Outside like, pass.
Yeah. And then like, fuck, let's go, yeah, I'm going in.
You're standing out there with the smokers, and the smokers are judging you, and you're just like, yeah, you're it's such a fucking weird environment to be in.
Well, I always giggle because they used to say, there was actually ad campaigns saying, be social, start smoking.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Where nowadays it seems like more like an antisocial thing. It's like, oh, I'm getting social anxiety, I'm going to go outside and smoke so I know I'm going to be by myself. Yeah.
Like the 50s? That must have been a 50s
thing.
Oh,
100%.
I feel like the 50s was a good time.
The Flintstones used to be advocates for, it was a Benson and Hedges.
Does no one else feel that way?
I don't think so. I would have, like...
Well, you don't, because you would have got smacked around a little too much, but like...
Totally.
I still believe that if they're, you know, being a little unreasonable, a quick little smack will get them right back on the road.
When was that interview?
Back in the early 90s, Sean Connery.
Did he actually say that?
It was Barbara Walters was sitting in front of him saying, years ago we did an interview and you said that smacking a woman, you know, wasn't a bad thing. He's, I still believe that. If they're being a little irrational, you know, a quick little smack and everything's back on track.
Really? What a fucking dick. I think I
have the clip. I'll run it here for
yeah,
a
we
moment,
should
yeah.
find it.
You did an interview in which you said, it's not the worst thing to slap a woman now and then. As I remember, you said you don't do it with a clenched fist. It's better to do it with an open hand. Mm. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't love that.
I haven't changed my opinion.
You haven't?
No. Not at all.
You think it's good to slap a woman?
No, I don't think it's good.
You don't think it's bad?
I don't think it's that bad. I think that it depends entirely on the circumstances and if it merits it. Yeah.
What would merit it?
Well, if you have tried everything else, and women are pretty good at this, that they can't leave it alone. Yeah? They want to have the last word, and you give them the last word, but they're not happy with the last word. They want to say it again and get into a really provocative situation. Then I think it's absolutely right.
Oh, man.
Anyway, speaking of this, okay, so Candace had sent me something. The only messages I get in my ghost account of my Instagram page is from Candace.
It's the same ones I send Jaguar, by the way. Jaguar has...
Oh, can I get this stuff? Because there's stuff I want to send you, and I don't. Because I don't know how.
Who, me?
Can you send it to me later?
Yeah. Yeah, I can do that. It's gofuckyourself at Instagram.com. But she sent me this video of this guy who was really close with the Rockefeller family and talked about how the Rockefellers were actually the ones that started and funded and promoted the whole women's liberation movement back in the 50s and 60s. And the idea was going, well, as it stands right now, we're only taxing half of the population. How can we get the other half? Well, we'll put them to work. Brilliant. And not only that, that means that if there's no one at home to take care of the children, we put them in schools earlier, training them to be more factory workers. Then we can just tax everybody.
Oh, man, that is brilliant.
Right?
Can't fault them for a good idea.
It's evil brilliant, but it's fucking brilliant.
Brilliant nonetheless. Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Shit. Fucked up.
It's really, really, really messed up. And when you think about it, and you just think, like, you talk about the 50s, that's a lot of the times where 60s, and, you know, women were going to work and leaving their families, and there's nothing wrong with going to work, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not faulting anybody for doing that, because I've done it myself. But that is when that movement started, and now you're taxing people, and now the kids are being brought up in schooling systems, and they've created more work. It's just a really, if you go back to that point, and how it switched, and how the system basically trained everybody in a different way over the last 80, 70 years. It's pretty fucked up.
Well, and you got to think that the way they got that idea was over the First and Second World War, when they sent all the men away over to Germany and Europe to go fight, and then the women had to go work in the factory, and they thought, oh.
Lots of taxing.
Look at them. They're capable. They can do this. Let's put them in there full time. This is fucking brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And now you have two full-time parents. Parents put their kids in daycares. Parents put their kids in school systems. Parents put their kids in this. And so they're working to pay off the... You talk about evil brilliance. It really is. Because I remember being a stay-at-home wife for the first few years of the kid's life. And I remember some women would be like, oh, well, must be nice. I was like, it is nice. I do feel it is great, and I'm so grateful that I get to be able to do that. But this is a lot of fucking work, too.
Oh,
You take your kids and you take them.
Like it's a
fucking job. And now it's full time. It's one of the things that I was telling to Dave when he leaves. It's 4 months of me, no break, kids all the time. I homeschool our kids. It's not like I'm sending them off for 7 hours and then they come back.
Okay, but was there not a point in this journey that you as women have been on, and oh man, I'm gonna regret this.
Oh boy, grab the shovel,
where
Tommy.
It was a lot of like drinking wine and watching soap operas.
Bring it back.
That was
bring
a thing
back.
That happened for a bit.
A lot of the babysitters I had did that, but
all I can think of right now is Bill Burr when he was talking about stay home moms.
I don't think I heard that bit.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta listen to it.
I want to hear it.
It's gonna be bad.
Okay, so
that the one where is that the one we heard about? Like, I want to go someplace where women are hanging out in the afternoon and they're hanging out and they're doing yoga pants because I don't want to go anywhere where men are hanging out in the afternoon. That one? No, that's not. No. A different comedian, different time. Never mind.
Yeah, that was Chris Rock.
I still haven't watched his new one.
Just skip to the last 10 minutes if you want to hear what he thinks about Will Smith and getting slapped on stage at the Oscars. The rest of it, it's okay. It's good. It's not
really
his best stuff, but it's good.
That. Okay.
Right. I'll put it to you this way. Now, I'm going to use these words very carefully, but there came a moment where...
Well, this was our last show, everybody.
It's okay. I'll make it worse after, and you're in the
because of what I went through, having two career parents and being dropped off from babysitter to babysitter to babysitter to babysitter to babysitter, and some of the things that happened in some of those places, I'm still not fully ready to talk about yet. But I think subconsciously, there was a part of me that knew that I wanted to have the mother of my children stay home and raise them for the first formidable years of their life. And luckily, I was able to make good enough money in radio that we were able to afford that luxury. Now, I always told people that Candace has the hardest job in the world. She has a much harder job than I do because she's on 24 hours a day. I mean,
dick and ball jokes all day. I have to actually deal with little penises and pooping and yeah, okay.
Ugh.
But literally everything. And we were fortunate to have that. And I remember there was a certain point where the government said, oh, you don't get your child benefit tax anymore. And I remember going to, it was at the Rivercrest, just north of the perimeter on Main Street, because our local member of parliament, so represents my area of town federally, and she was having a Q&A. She'd do it for the first Sunday of every month. And I sat down, and I waited my turn, and I said, I'm really not happy about this. I said, we're sitting here, we're trying to really make sure that the next generation, our children, are taken care of. And I said, I think it's really important that happens with their mother. And the fact that you sit there and go, we support women and we do all this and we do all that, and now the federal government has taken away that money. Like, you'll incentivize me if I put them in a daycare. Like you'll incentivize that, but you won't incentivize having a family member stay at home and take care of my kids. And
which is
crazy. You know what she actually said to me? She said that we were sitting next to each other, and she sat there and she bumped me with her elbow. She goes, well, that's what you get for making too much money.
That was actually
her response. And at that point, I just said, I went, that's the worst fucking answer I could ever have heard.
That's actually what she said.
She said, that's what you get for making
too much money.
She
was making a, like, she was joking with me.
Well, regardless.
Like, expressing her own disappointment for the outcomes of that? Or was she serious?
Well, there's a little truth in
like
everything.
How dare you make that
There's
much
a
money.
Little truth in everything, right? But at the same time, she didn't say, hey, I agree with you. Hey, I don't think it's right either. She just kind of said, that's what she said. And I said, so there's nothing. And she says, nope. And I said, okay, thank you. And
I don't know if I like there's a little truth in everything. I've said a lot of shit on this show.
I was thinking the same thing as you said.
I don't think we need to start evaluating if there's truth
to
any
of that.
The
amount of truth is variable. It's variable.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter.
Between zero and maybe.
This is music news you can use. Here's Dave Wheeler.
For March 27th, 2023. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx has revealed that he'll be making an appearance on Dolly Parton's forthcoming rock album titled Rockstar. The new record is set to feature covers of classic songs by the likes of Prince, The Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, and Lynyrd Skynyrd. Earlier this week, Nikki Sixx shared that he was the latest artist to contribute to Parton's album, which is due out later this year. In January, Parton revealed that Paul McCartney, Stevie Nicks, and Steven Tyler would be among the artists to contribute to her album. During an interview on The View, Parton was asked whether Stones frontman Mick Jagger could be one of her potential collaborators.
Well, I'm doing my best to try to get him on, but I did his song anyway. I think Pink and Brandi Carlile are going to be singing on that particular song with me.
Last year, Parton said she wanted Elton John to appear on the project after revealing she had recorded a cover of his 1974 hit Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. Previously, the country icon spoke about how she hoped to reunite with Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page and Robert Plant on the album. Canadian act Grandson has confirmed details of his second album, I Love You, I'm Trying, and shared the new single, Drones. Here's what it sounds like.
Drones up in the sky, look like paper kites, bombs light up the night, burn like fireflies, tell me one good lie so I can sleep at night, hurt me one more time, I wanna feel alive. Drones up in the sky.
I Love You, I'm Trying is the follow-up to 2020's Death of an Optimist and is due for release May 5th via 21 Pilots label, fueled by ramen. Finally, My Chemical Romance played the final show of their lengthy reunion tour over the weekend. The legendary emo band originally broke up in 2013, but played their first show together in almost 8 years on December 20th, 2019 at the Shrine Auditorium and Expo Hall in LA, grossing a record $1.5 million, the most in the venue's history. A world tour was meant to follow before it was delayed due to COVID-19. My Chemical Romance finally kicked off their reunion tour with two shows in the UK before playing gigs across Europe and North America, including a headline appearance at When We Were Young Festival. Earlier this month, My Chemical Romance played gigs in New Zealand and Australia before two shows in Japan. As it stands, the band have confirmed no other live dates or spoken about new music. After closing out the main show with famous last words and sleep, My Chemical Romance returned to the stage for a one-song encore featuring I Brought You My Bullets, You Brought Me Your Love track, Vampires Will Never Hurt You. The band then left the stage without saying a word, leaving a drumhead with the message Endless Night written on it. That's music news you can use for March 27th, 2023. I'm Dave Wheeler.
Jaguar, I looked at this and I actually tried to do the recon for you, but it looks like the Darkness is going to be doing a anniversary tour of Permission to Land, and they're playing about two in Finland when you're going to go see was it Ghost and Him play? No, who,
yeah,
they're playing
Ghost and Valo.
They're playing there about 2 months after, so it's not going to match up.
Man,
road trip.
I can't go back
twice.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. But if that lined up, that would have been incredible.
Oh my God.
Where?
Be amazing.
When are you thinking of going to Finland?
Right at the end of June.
Oh. Is it cold there at that time?
No, it's summer.
No, it's super warm.
I don't know.
It's super warm and it's light out like 20 hours a day.
Very, very similar climate to Winnipeg. Like shitty cold in the winter and then very hot in the summertime.
And you're going to see concerts. And I think you have a friend there, right? I recall you saying.
Yeah. So we're going to head out there and go there for a few days and then go somewhere else.
Now, I don't want to rain on your parade, but I love how much you love being depressive. Based on what's happening with the bordering country to Finland, you know, just be careful.
I'm
sure it will be, but, you know.
Not too worried
about it. Be careful.
I'd be more worried about Mexico based on recent news
I've
heard.
What did you hear?
Well, I heard there's some shit going on. Like, you know, there's this whole Russia, China, Brazil thing. Mm-hmm. I heard Mexico's pondering an alliance.
Oh, I heard that President Lopez is signing.
Well, here's
that he's like he's in. He wants to be part of the.
So
Russian.
that's a done deal.
Just to give you an idea of what that is, they're not necessarily aligning with them politically, but they're tied. No, hang on, hear me out. But what they're tired of being a slave to the American dollar, so they want to align with them as far as their currency. So
well, and that's been a mission for a long time.
It has been, and because the peso is just fucking terrible. Actually, the peso is the highest it's ever been.
Yeah, that's why I'm moving back to Canada sooner than later. Actually, everybody, our dollar isn't doing as good.
Yeah, our dollar is just over 70 cents U.S. right now. The Canadian dollar, it's fucking awful. Like, it's really brutal. But
well, it's not going to get better.
What Russia and China have done with this BRICS agreement.
Who else is in it? India?
I believe India's in there, and there's a few other countries that are in there, but they want to become the, no pun intended, the gold standard, and they have purchased more gold than anybody on the planet over the past 5 years, and they essentially... It's
not political at all when they've been planning it for 5 years, AJ.
Well, not only that, but here's what's funny. Here's what's funny is remember.
No, tell me the funny.
Remember when the U.S. and Canada put all these sanctions when the invasion first happened in Ukraine, saying we're locking you out of the banking system, we're locking you out of that. With all these bank failures in the U.S., Russia has been so insulated; they have not been affected at all.
Because they're by the gold standard.
Not only that, but because they've been removed from the North American and the British banks and whatnot. Like, they've been cut off from that.
Yeah.
That they weren't affected at all. And so now they are, like, financially, they're sitting really fucking pretty. Really fucking pretty.
I don't know how I feel
about
that.
It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, me too. So what does this mean?
I don't like it.
Okay, so we've got, can you pull up what countries are in it? So the idea is that they're going to peg the peso at the gold standard the same as they'd peg the Chinese currency and the Russian currency? Is this what I...
Well, it would be weighed against the... So the standard currency... Like, the standard currency in the world right now is the U.S. dollar. And it would now be based on something other than the U.S. dollar, which I don't even know when the last time that would have existed, if ever.
So it says here, the BRICS bloc was created to coordinate the actions of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa in order to collectively increase the economic growth of these countries.
Oof.
So while NATO is a military alliance, BRICS is not. BRICS refers to emerging countries with rapidly growing economies. Therefore, NATO and BRICS are fundamentally different, obviously.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, but I mean... Like,
can you Google and see if Mexico did sign? I did read a little bit about this. The headline, get ready.
While Mexico shares some similarities with the BRICS in terms of economic size and potential, it is not a part of the group's original vision.
I did know that President Lopez is pretty much, he's just kind of like, yeah, sure, Canada, yeah, sure, the States, yeah, sure, Russia, yeah, sure. He kind of plays on all sides of the field from everything that I've seen.
Other countries that have expressed interest in joining include Argentina, the United Arab Emirates, Algeria, Egypt, Bahrain, and Indonesia.
Oh, if the UAE goes in, that's it. Like,
game over.
Game over. They got all the money.
Yeah, they have, like, real money.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. If they sign up and then Mexico signs it, okay. I mean, it'll screw up our dollar here for us because it's Canadian money being made here, and so things would shift. But, I mean, every empire falls. We know this in history. Every empire falls, and it is a matter of time. And the way that country is being ran, that America will fall. And the way that they pushed out all their military, all their equipment, everything over to Ukraine, the way that they're doing their whole political movement there, it is a matter of time, and I do think it'll happen in our generation.
It's like the game of Monopoly and Risk all of a sudden became one board game.
Yeah. Right? Jeez. Well, and the thing is that if Mexico signs and joins that group, you've got to think at some point this is not just about currency, this is about power, this is about land, this is about military, and like, that gives pretty quick access to a lot of groups that would love to get quick access to the United States.
Yeah, and then it shifts the way that Mexico trades with United States. And that's why I said President Lopez is very, like, on the fence. But, I mean, I don't know how much longer he's going to be in power, because I know he's, you know, he's older, and there's a lot of talk about him changing over and that kind of thing. And you're right. And who was it? Somebody, I saw Biden made a comment of how much he really liked Canada, and then he's like, oh, I mean Canada. Did anybody else see that?
Yeah.
He said China, then he backtracked and said Canada. Yeah. But
right.
The other thing he said that was great when he gave his hour-long speech in the House of Commons.
Our labor unions cross borders. So do our sports leagues. Baseball, basketball, hockey. Listen to this, hockey. I have to say, I like your teams except the Leafs. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. They beat the Flyers back in January. That's why. And if I didn't see that, I married a Philly girl. If I didn't say that, I'd be sleeping alone, fellas. I like you, but not that much.
I was like, that's the funniest thing he said in his entire fucking political career.
I'm surprised he was able to get all those words out.
They came out in one order
without fucking.
I have a theory that he is on a medically prescribed cocaine. I truly believe that his doctor is like, hey, he's about to go do a speech. Give him just the right amount of cocaine that he's going to be able to string sentences together.
I'd like to look at his and Ozzy's prescription list and see who actually takes more drugs.
You know that there's that. I know I talk about cloning theory before, but you know that there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of side by sides that he's not the same person who ran. Like, he literally is different earlobes, different person, different face, different eyes. Have you ever seen those side?
Yeah, I can't go down those rabbit holes, because that's like, people say Katy Perry's not who she was, and whoever. Oh, there's a bunch of celebrities that are like, that's not the person, and blah, 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 and they show you all these things. It's like, okay.
And Madonna's the same person.
Well, all right.
Wait, why can't you go down?
Touché.
What was the meme I saw the other day? I never thought I'd live in a day and age where Roseanne Barr was hotter than Madonna, but fuck it, here we are.
She looks fucked. Madonna looks fucked. But that's just like surgeries and stuff. That's fine. Like, that's just doctors and surgeries.
No.
Like, look at Michael Jackson, the way he ended up looking.
Yeah, dead.
He's not dead. Come on. There's no way. He's dead.
I love going down those rabbit holes. So when you say, I can't go down them. You can't go down them because it's just like, I don't give a shit, or you can't go down them because your brain can't wrap.
Michael Jackson's estate probably bought Epstein's Island.
Oh, wow. I'm
joking. That's coming from a guy who doesn't think Michael did what they think.
Well, it's kind of like the way Disney did, like Disney Orlando, Disney California, Euro Disney, very similar.
It's Neverland, Europe, Neverland.
Yeah, exactly. Neverland Island, Neverland Ranch.
Oh, you know what that also is like in the beauty industry?
Neverland Epstein whatever.
Everybody loves the Body Shop because they're like, oh, yeah, the Body Shop. They don't test on animals, but they're owned by L'Oreal, and L'Oreal tests on animals, so they just fund it through their third company. So it's the same shit.
Is that real?
Yeah, it's real.
So they actually do all the testing on animals just before they transfer it to that brand.
They
don't have to market it that way.
It's just a subsidy
of
their company.
So genius. Oh man,
well, you can't do testing on plants.
No, I'm not a plant. Plants don't have sensitive balls.
Yeah, right? Or you're gonna tuck your four parts apparently that you guys have.
Isn't that what we have inmates for? Seriously, like long term inmates,
right?
That's a fucking great idea.
Yeah. Death penalty.
You touch
here you
a
go.
Kid, line here you up. Go, motherfucker. Test yeah, this in exactly. your eyes.
Cool. I got into a long drunk conversation yesterday about the death penalty.
Oh, and?
With my wife and a couple friends of mine.
Okay.
I don't know. Everyone had different opinions, that's for sure. That is not a conversation I want to have drunk with people anymore.
Where do you sit with it? Do you believe in the death penalty?
Yes.
Based off of 100% truth?
I think you're going to miss some.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, whatever.
And it.
You're going to get a couple wrong here and there. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
And then,
listen.
What's the way of doing it? Like, obviously, you're not talking about, like, shock, you know, where they used to stick somebody in an electric chair. You're talking about just lethal injection.
Well, what I never understood is why it takes so long.
Yeah.
Like, why is there actually
25 years in prison, then we fucking kill
you.
You
know why?
Like, that eliminates the benefit to killing
them. It's fucking money. It's tax money. It's money, 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 money.
No, not necessarily. You know what it is because of the judicial system, you have to have enough time to be able to file an appeal. So you maybe go to court again, you know, retry.
15 more appeals.
Right, so those kind of things. And finally,
right,
it's
a fucking money grab. The lawyer and the lawyer and the system and the system, and slow it down. You know somebody's fucking guilty of raping a fucking kid. You're fucking guilty.
And who's
paying for it? Cut your balls off. or get the fuck out of here. We don't need you.
No, they should kill them. If you do anything to kids, you should just be dead.
I have no sympathy for it.
Just kill them.
Because, like, we're paying for it.
Yeah, exactly. Really? There's your 6% fucking tax hike up.
And I'm sorry. You like
kill more people, lower booze prices. This is
but that's just it, right? Like our taxes are going to the wrong place.
That's my platform. That's it. I just figured out. Thanks, Tommy.
Yeah, you know they say the alcohol is a solution, right?
For every 10 killed, one free bottle of Weiser's,
right?
So much money is in that. That's a business. I mean, you think about the witch trials back in the 1600s. You grab those women and you put them into jail, and that's where you start getting money. You go to the court, now they're holding them, and now there's money there, and there's this. That's how this all started. And so it is different. I'm not saying that witches are people killing people, but I'm saying that it's that same judicial system where you're trying to make money off of lawyers and the whole tax system. It's bullshit.
Yeah, it's a whole part of everything, but also, like, if somebody murdered someone, like, how much... I guess in the end, you still never know. It's proof. It's about proof and proof beyond the shadow of a doubt. And it's like, well, the whole legal system is based on finding the shadows, and then you pay people to find
them. Well, and the way that everything now has cameras everywhere and everything, there are times where it is 100% that somebody has killed somebody. You know it. You know it based on the cat. So now we're just like, oh, we'll put you
in. Well, and then they should just shoot him. Just fucking shoot him.
Over. Just done. Bye.
If you see someone kill someone, you're a police officer or whatever, like, if you see someone murder somebody, like, fucking kill them.
Well, there's that great movie, Law Abiding Citizen, and that's
Gerard Butler.
I haven't seen that. Is it good?
Oh, it's a fantastic movie, because, like, his wife and kid gets killed, and the guy gets off because he ratted on some bigger boss, you know, and then he takes a revenge on him. And he goes into court and basically just says, like, the right things. And the judge was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to grant him, like, basically...
Immunity?
Immunity, yeah. And he's like, see, this is what the fuck is wrong with it. He starts bitching at the judge. And it's true, though. Like, that's how it is. If you say the right things, if you're the first-time offender, you know, you're off. You're off the hook.
Okay, so there's two points to this. So, okay, I think everybody at this table seems to agree with the death penalty. Like, we're all like, okay, yeah, if you're 100%, and you, especially if you fucking touched a kid, we're all cool with you getting. But then it's the person that does it. Is this, like, how do you hire for this job? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who...
You get other people who have, like, deep-seated desires to kill people to do it. Yeah, like a Dexter.
Well, what they used to do is, like, in a firing squad.
God damn,
like,
that like show
they
so
would tie
good.
Somebody to a stake,
yeah.
Right? And they blindfold them. They'd have 10 people line up. Only two of them would have bullets. The rest of them would all have blanks. So the 10 people with the guns never really knew if their gun had the bullet or not. And so they'd all fire on this person, not knowing which one.
Is that how they did it?
But isn't it the death penalty now, which is only in the States, I believe, as far as...
No, there's death penalties in...
Oh, I'm pretty sure in Saudi Arabia you can be killed for some stuff.
Okay. Well, who was it? I can't remember his name. It escapes me right now. But the president of the Philippines actually put bounties on fucking drug dealers' heads and said, drag them by.
Oh, yeah. He was fucking shit. Whatever happened to that
whole situation? Duarte, I think it's President Duarte. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
but I remember he had like this whole fucking vigilante justice kind of situation going on. Oh, yeah.
Well, I figured in the States it was lethal injection.
Yeah, that's the main one. Yeah,
right. They don't do anything else, do they?
They
don't know public hangings.
Well, no, they hung Saddam Hussein. Hung him from his neck.
Yeah, that's true,
neck.
They did.
Yeah. Publicly, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely publicly.
Interesting.
They should have sold tickets.
Yeah.
Well, but not on Ticketmaster. It'd be too expensive for everybody.
Sure in certain parts of Saudi Arabia that if you're walking by a public execution, which still happens, if you're walking by the area and you don't stop and watch, you could be fined or punished in a certain way. It's like, fuck, I'm walking in the wrong area at the wrong time. Now I have to go watch this public execution.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and then I'd get executed for masturbating in public, and that'd be a whole problem for me. I can't live there.
Do they serve popcorn?
So fucking gross, you guys.
All right, switching from darkness to another darkness, Tommy. I took your advice. I watched Wednesday. What a great little whodunit kind of...
Oh, my God, that show's
really
good.
Really
fantastic.
Good.
Fantastic. I love it.
How did the boys like it?
The kids love
it. Kids loved it.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. The kids really loved it, but I'm a little concerned. Odin, our youngest, liked it so much. He thought the dark humor was so great. He's like, wah-ha-ha-ha. Like,
yeah, that's my boy.
He loved it so, so much.
He's my favorite now.
I remember he lived with me for a while.
Oh, my gosh. And I was like, aren't you scared? He's like, no, Mom, not at all. And I was like, all right.
Love Although it. There is a saving grace there. I said, are you ready for Stranger Things? He's like, no, I'm not old enough yet. I'm like, there's the responsibility. Good for you.
Yeah, that's okay.
See,
yeah.
My kids watched Stranger Things, and they loved it. They're obsessed. So I have a 14-year-old, almost 14-year-old daughter. My son's turning 9. They both watched it, and they love it. I know it's dark, but I think it's more of a fantasy than, you know,
it's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah. They both loved the show, and, you know, at some points they're like, okay, let's take a break. You know, we turned the lights on because we watched it dark. You have to watch it when it's dark in the room. And they loved
it. By the way, have you seen these things that you can get now? Like, a lot of, like, imagine the ground effects on your Honda Prelude or your Honda Civic there, Jaguar. You know, where you lower it and you put the ground effects on. You can get that for your TV now, where you plug it into your TV and the lights behind your TV will match the colors of what's going on in the screen. Oh, whether it's,
I've seen that.
It basically,
have you ever watched something with
not
that?
Not yet, but I
feel like it would be weird.
Video awesome. Games.
Really?
Is it good? Oh, does it add to it?
It's fantastic.
Video games is the big one.
Mm. Yeah.
It's really cool.
You know what? It doesn't cost a lot. I think for $200 you can get that set up, and it's awesome.
I'm surprised.
My wife would not.
I'm amazed theaters haven't. I'm amazed theaters haven't done this yet. Like, add the colors around you in the room, like down the walls on the side.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to see theaters.
The wall.
I'd like to see theaters add more of that stuff. Like, add scents. Like, add scent into what's happening.
What's that smell of a cigarette? You know, it's just me.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a smoking scene coming up.
As an example,
everyone light up.
I watched. Yeah, as an example, I watched Along Came Polly yesterday. I've never seen that movie.
No.
And when
with Ben Stiller,
what's his face? Oh, yeah, Ben Stiller, and when what's his face walks up to his buddy, he's like, "I fucking charted. We gotta get out of here. Like, have a little fart smell in the room.
I'll
you know
be the perfect
mean?
Guy for that." Yeah.
Well, I could just watch it with Tommy.
Yeah,
it'd be fun.
Yeah.
Done. Time out your.
I realized I'd never. So Rach and I watched Wayne's World two nights ago.
The OG.
Fucking amazing!
It
that movie
it well,
is still
it?
So
yeah, it
good.
Well.
Man, it's good. And then last night we got day drunk, which is why Dave, you, and I never had a drink.
Understood.
Which we were hoping to do. Sorry. We got day drunk, and then we got home, and we're like, well, let's watch a movie. And we're all hammered, and somehow Rachel wanted to watch Along Came Polly, and I'd never seen it. But it came out when I worked at HMV, and so I knew all these things about it. And she's like, are you sure you haven't seen this movie? I'm like, no, I haven't, but, like, I remember these things. Like, the shart thing was coming up, and I was like, oh, is this where he tells him he sharted? And she's like, you've seen this. I'm like, no, I haven't. How am I not going to remember the first time I heard the word
when
shart?
When a movie achieves a certain amount of social fame, that enough lines are thrown out, and you just kind of laugh along, going, ha, 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 yeah, that you've heard enough of the movie by proxy through friends that you go, oh, this finally makes sense.
Like the TV show Friends.
The movie was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. Like the TV show Friends, exactly.
That was okay.
Yeah.
We and then after that one, we put on Something About Mary, and that one's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. So,
did you smell cum?
Right? I want to smell that bleachy.
Yeah, it smells like chlorine in here.
I love that you're watching old school movies, by the way.
So last night, me and my son have a sleepover every once in a while. And last night he asked me, he's like, can we have a sleepover? Because they're leaving for a couple days for spring break with the wife. And I was like, yeah, absolutely, let's do it. He's like, Dad, I want to watch Spider-Man Far From Home. I'm like, done, let's do it. So we watched that. And then it was like 11:30. He's like, can we watch Far From Home? I'm like, or the No Way Home, the next one. I'm like, okay, let's start it. So it was like 12:30. I'm like, dude, let's finish it tomorrow morning. So this morning at 6 a.m., he was wide awake. I was like, okay, Dad, I'm ready. Okay, we watched that. And then we watched Doctor Strange,
Multiverse of Madness.
The first one or the second one?
You watched that with him?
Oh, I haven't seen
Madness. Multiverse of Madness.
I haven't seen the second one yet.
And he loved it. So we watched about 7 hours of movies since last night.
Wait,
it was
but
awesome.
So he's 9 and he watched the second one? He wasn't afraid? Because that's dark. I was afraid.
Is it that bad?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it yet.
It was dark. He was totally into it. It was like his eyes were peeled to the screen. And after he was done, I'm like, so? He's like, It was
so
awesome.
It sounds like your son and Odin, who's turning 9 shortly, need to get together this summer and hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll call it the pulling legs off Dandy Lions Club or Daddy Long Legs Club.
My sister used to do that.
Yeah. Honestly, those Odin and Jacob would. Oh my
Actually,
God.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think that's
don't
a good idea.
I don't know if they
idea.
Should meet.
Yeah. If we meet, it's got to be in a public place because then my house is going to be burnt down or something's going
to
happen here.
This settles it. You're moving to Mexico.
That's it. Yeah, no, we might come next year.
Really?
Is Odin, has he,
love to have you.
I don't
has
know
Odin put a shirt on in the last month yet?
No, he has not. He doesn't wear a shirt.
Oh,
no.
Odin.
So Jacob, he's been between the ages of, I guess he started walking around like 8, 9 months maybe. And 3 years, he loved taking his pants off and underwear and just like let it
free roll.
Oh
yeah, exactly.
My gosh. So that one's, so Jacob's going to have no pants and Odin's going to have no shirt. Odin doesn't, I swear to gosh, people don't even think he owns a shirt because he's just like a little surfer kid. These two are just going to take over the.
I've rarely seen
quick,
him in
quick
a
story
shirt.
Before we wrap here. This literally happened this morning before we recorded this episode. I came out of the bedroom. Everyone was already up. It was around 9 o'clock in the morning. And I decided to go out. I could smell the coffee in the kitchen, and so I walked out, and I was just in my sheath underwear to finish off where we started. And I walked over, and the boys are like, "Hey, good morning, Dad." They're like, "Dad, why are you in your underwear?" And I stopped, and I look, I'm like, "This little asshole runs around all day, half naked, and no one questions it ever." And I decided to go get coffee in my underwear, and all of a sudden, it's weird.
Yeah, how dare you?
I do it all the time. Today I had to put pants on because my daughter had some girlfriends over for sleepover. So I got to put pants on.
That must have been so hard for you.
And I had Zuba pants and I put jeans on because you were coming over because I know you would be
Thank
judging.
You.
You know what actually I think would work well for you, Tommy?
Yes.
Is you know those leftover puppy pads that we have that when Jaguar was here for Loki? Just put those in the back of your underwear.
Yeah.
Great idea. And
they're charcoal filtered. It'll filter
some
out
over next week.
Yeah, we'll take them with you and bring them to Tommy's.
I actually switched to those puppy pads since we've been there.
Charcoal
ones. Yeah, the charcoal ones. Yeah,
yeah, they're fucking amazing.
I need extra large though.
Okay, everybody, we out. Appreciate your time as always.
Bye.
All right, eat shit.
We had a fire in our backyard and we're just, I think we got together at like 8 o'clock and then literally had like 2-3 drinks and we're just we were talking about, oh yeah, there should be out tonight too. Cause Thursday night they were beautiful apparently. But we're just joking like, yeah, we're going to go home and go to sleep. And that's exactly what happened. At 9:30, they went home. We came inside. We went to bed. And the next day he sends me these pictures. Like, look how beautiful they were last
night. Over the
yeah,
man.
My sister-in-law took that.
Oh, shit. Look at that.
That reminds me of...
What? This is in Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister, like my brother lives just outside of Winnipeg.
My cousin Natalie, she was driving. She drove into Winnipeg. She said, sent me some pictures. Like, what? I don't think I've seen very, like, just tiny little versions. I've never seen anything like that.
Growing up in Fort McMurray, we got those every single night in the winter.
Oh, I guess all the time, eh?
Do you know there's a superstition? I remember I dated a guy whose mother, his grandmother was Aboriginal, and she said never, ever, ever whistle at them. Ooh. Yeah.
Don't whistle
what
at
happens?
The northern
lights. Yeah, it's bad luck.
Well, no, it's similar to the one that I heard. I was out in the, spending some time out in the res with my buddies that I played hockey with, and they said don't ever make faces at them. And it's the same idea is that their carriage will come down and scoop you up like Harry Potter style.
Yeah, it's something that is spiritually, you don't mock them. That's the spirit showing up, and it's very, very sacred. Mm-hmm. So you never, like, whistle, make faces, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So before you guys get back to the show,
well, this is great content.
Year, my parents were here visiting right after. They were supposed to come in 2020, but because of COVID, everything got shut down. So they haven't seen my kids for a long time, right? So last year they came for a couple months, and they were here till end of September. And so we have a camper, like a seasonal site, and we went out there, and they went to bed already. Me and Adrian are sitting by the fire, just kind of chilling, and all of a sudden, like, the sky just lit up, right? So I dragged my parents out. And so my dad's one of those old school European guys, just, you know, no emotion. I've only saw him cry once in my lifetime. No emotions, nothing. And then he was just like,
aww.
Like he was like a little 5-year-old kid. And he's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. first time ever he saw Northern Lights, and that was just like, I was just so happy. I'm like, yes, I did something good in my life, you know, like at least my dad's happy now, so he can
that
die
was it,
happy.
Eh? That
you
was
know?
Your
yeah.
one.
I was like, fuck yeah, like he's proud of me now.
I did this for you.
He doesn't
Dad.
Give a shit about anything
Look what
else.
I've done
yeah.
for you.
I made a call.
I painted that. Yeah.